Sonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Tension, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A from my Instagram. So I've been doing a lot more on Instagram recently at Brian Keane Fitness. A lot of Instagram live Q&As back and forth and Instagram stories. So definitely check me out on there. So all those questions came in, and any questions you have, you can hit me up on the DM on Instagram, even though it's been blowing up since the book. The book went bestseller on Amazon, and that my DMs have just been blowing up on Instagram. But I do try and reply to as many of them as I can. And if I'm traveling or on a plane or on a bus, I try and just go through my DMs and message people back. So first question comes in from Shane Mead. Brian, what podcast do you listen to? Okay, for those of you who've been following me a while, you know I'm a massive fan of podcasts. I literally spend like all my free thinking time either listening to audiobooks or listening to my favorite podcasts. And I do get asked a lot at events, what fitness podcasts do I listen to? The truth is, I don't actually listen to that many fitness podcasts, even though I've had some guests on my show, Danny Linen from Sigma Nutrition, Jamie Alderton, Grenade J, Ben Coomer, Scott Baptie, Phil Graham, and they've all got their own podcasts. And the reason I got them on was because of people being like, oh, you should try and get this guest on, they have a great podcast. So what I would advise you do if you're looking for fitness podcasts is go back to those episodes, listen to those guys, and if you're like, oh, they sound really cool, then head over to them and subscribe to their podcast and you'll have somebody new that you can follow, would be my advice on that. Personally, I don't listen to fitness podcasts now because I'm nearly 17 years training. I spent probably from the age of 26 or from 16 to 26 doing nothing but reading, listening, and consuming information on fitness, nutrition, supplements, anything that would move my composition forward, my physique forward, my sports performance forward. So now my level of knowledge, and you're always learning, but my level of interest isn't at the same high in terms of consuming fitness podcasts now because I have a lot of my own ideas and then it's just topping up on those and getting new perspectives. So I don't consume fitness podcasts as such. However, I consume a lot of business podcasts. I love Gary Vaynerchuk's audio experience. So anyone that's into social media marketing and that tries to build a brand and build a personal brand, Gary Vaynerchuk's audio experience is a brilliant one. I love Masters of Scale. I think it's Reid Hoffman. He's the guy that created LinkedIn, which is a social media business platform. It's a great Masters of Scale. I listen to NPR, How I Built This, which talks about people building companies from the very beginning. So people like TRX or Spanx or Dove or whatever it is in the head, the people that started that and how they were able to build it to billion-dollar companies. I've also just started listening to one called The Billionaire. We Study Billionaires. And it's a lot about stock market and stock investing. And that's kind of just where my area of interest is now. Real estate, stock investing, index funds, and trying to expand my own knowledge on that side of my life. So I consume podcasts to support whatever it is I'm trying to achieve at that moment in my life. So one of the things that I do, and again, I think people will probably get a lot of value hopefully from this, is whatever it is that's the priority for you right now, start consuming those people or the information that's going to support that envision. I talked about in my book, The Fitness Mindset, about think with the end in mind, and then every decision you make should be some way moving you towards that decision. So the podcasts I consume are built around me now trying to scale my business up so I can help and serve more people. So the podcasts and the books that I read and the information I consume for the largest part are down to that and fueling that end goal. When I was trying to change my body composition and build more confidence and deal with my anxiety and change and just look the way I wanted to look, I consumed way more fitness books, fitness podcasts, fitness information. You know, that's kind of what I would advise anybody do, is follow the people or follow the podcast or read the books that are going to support the end goal. You know, again, sometimes they're background noise. There's people like The Audio Experience by Gary Vaynerchuk, and I just like his content and I'll have it on as background noise at times. And then there's other ones that are very strategic. The We Study Billionaires podcast is me down to very, very obviously trying to figure out the stock market better, because that's what I'm trying to build my own knowledge in at this current moment in time. So my advice would be is follow the people, follow the podcast, read the books of people that support that end goal of you. If you're getting value from them, follow them. If you're not getting value from them, cut them. And I've said this in other podcasts, and that goes for me too. If you ever are consuming my information, you're like, no, this isn't landing on a consistent basis, or I feel bad on what Brian's saying, and it's not, you know, I don't want this anymore, then by all means, unsubscribe or unfollow, because you need to consume the people and the information that's going to support you becoming the best version of you. And that may not be me, that may be somebody else, but it's a case of finding those people and then doubling down on them. From Sinead Doc 96, best advice to start a PT business. Okay, so I'm going to answer this from a couple of angles just so that it covers everybody, whether it's a PT business or anyone looking to start their own business in general, or someone who wants a side hustle so that they can earn extra income on top of their job, and just try and provide as much value as I can on this answer. The truth is, the key to any successful business, and again, I'm speaking as somebody that I'll only use myself because your own best experience, that 3.5 years ago, I was on welfare, social welfare, living with my mum and dad, driving my sister's little shitty Yaris that I didn't know would start every morning, to becoming a best-selling author, having a number one podcast, having social media following, and being able to help and serve thousands of people. That is down to the mindset and attitude of how can I help? You know, if you go into any business or anything with how can I help people, you are going to win. The Zig Ziglar talks on his quote that if you help people get what they want, you can get everything you want. And I live by the law of reciprocity, that the more information you give out and the more knowledge you have that you consume yourself, that you can give back to people, you're going to make it. You're going to make it work, whether that's in PT, whether that's in makeup, whether that's in hair. And they're kind of the three that I like to use because they're very saturated markets. There's ones where everybody's a personal trainer, everybody's a makeup artist, everybody has something to do with hair extensions or whatever it is. They're saturated fields. But the truth is, the cream always rises to the top. The best people always make it, and the best people tend to be the people that help the most. You know, there's a reason that Apple is a billion-dollar company. More people have iPhones than anything else. There's a reason that Microsoft through the 90s was worth billions and billions of dollars and was the richest company in the world, was because there was a PC in every single home. It was helping people connect. What Apple does is it helps people connect to one another. The apps give people time. They allow you to connect to people on the other side of the world. Technology allows us to do that. So if you find something that allows you to help more people, you are going to make your business work. In the context of personal training, it's going to be finding your market. Who is it you're trying to serve? You know, is it the GA player that wants to change their body composition and improve their sporting performance, like the field that I largely work in? Is it changing, you know, Sally or Ginny, who's 5 stone overweight, who wants to get their weight down and be healthy so they don't have a heart attack in 5 years? Who is it that you're trying to help? Who is it you're trying to serve? And then make sure you're putting out content, or you're doing connections with people and networking with people where you can help them directly. We are in a time and an age where we are literally a click on a phone away from sending out a message to thousands among thousands of people. There is not a time in history when we've been able to do that. I can go onto my Facebook and I've got 66 or 67,000 people on my Facebook page. I put up one blog post and it can hit that amount of people within a second. This is the only time in history when that's happened, you know. And there's a case that because of the age we're in, you can approach it from being a consumer and being a producer, and then using the best of both worlds to build a personal training business, or build a brand, or build whatever it is you're trying to do. Consuming the right information. You know, I spoke about it in the last question about consuming the right podcast. If you're trying to build a business, you're trying to build a personal training business, you've got two areas of development you need to work on. You need to work on how to run a business, which is your sales, your advertising, your marketing, your business development, all the things that are going to be the lifeblood, that if you don't make sales and you don't have customers and you don't have clients, you can't live. That business is going to die. On the flip side of it, you also have to be an amazing personal trainer. So learning more about nutrition, listening to fitness podcasts, learning more about training techniques, training styles, biomechanics, all the things that are going to help you become a better personal trainer, and then merging those two things together, because that's what's going to run a successful business as a personal trainer. Be amazing at what you do, because the best people always make it. How that looks and the business model may be different. Some people have business models where it's all online. Some people work one-to-one with clients. Some people speak. Some people write. Some do a combination of everything. Some people have a business model where they give you a little bit of information and you have to buy the product on the back end. Other people have a model like mine where I give out all free content. I'm like, well, here are my programs. If you want to work with me or come to my program, here they are, if it's something that helps you. But if you don't, here are the videos that may help you going forward. That's my business model. That's an intentional way on the way I want to work. My number one law has always been to help and serve more people. And I wrote it in the book that I want the world to be better because I was here. And from a cheesy and whatever way you want to look at that, that's always been my serving purpose. Making money is important to me, but it's second. And it has always been second. And people that have been following me, and I'm very fortunate, I make a very good living. But people that have been following me, you know from my free content, that's very clearly a second. I get a lot of hate on social media, but I've never been called money grab, and I've never been pulled or called on that, because I'm like, well, I give you all the free content, but here are the programs if you want them, here's the book if you want it, here's all these things that I can provide value and help serve, because I literally built the model that I had a following, and I asked my audience, what do you want? The people that come to my programs, I'm like, okay, well, how could this be better? Or the people that message on social media, the reason the GEA Lean Body program was built was because I had people ask me, well, is there a way to train that I can change the way that I look and get better on the pitch for GEA? I was like, yeah. So I made that program because that's what I wanted when I was 22, 23, 24. Serve your community. Find a way to help them, and you're going to be able to build a business off the back end. After that, then it's just going to be deciding what business model you want to do and how you can help your audience more than anybody else, because the best people make it in every single field. And I'm not saying putting myself into that bracket, but there are people that are killing it in business, that are killing it in personal training, even though it's a saturated market. But if you're willing to outwork everybody else, you're willing to work harder, you're willing to surround yourself with the right people, be that friends or business mentorships or masterminds or whatever that looks like for you, and then you're willing to help more people, you're going to make it, regardless how many other people are doing it. Focus on your goal. The only difference, and this is, and I've spoke about this on podcasts, and I'll bring it back because I'm your own best reference point. One of the reasons that I've been able to go from social welfare to bestseller and all these things that I have in 3.5 years is I don't really know what anybody else is doing, because I'm so focused on my thing. That's largely down with me trying to deal with my own anxiety and my own stress, because when I focus on what other people are doing, I get all up in my head and then I can't focus and concentrate, and that lends me to not helping enough people. When you're focused on your thing, you end up just staying in your lane, you know, and you're focused on what you're doing. I love the acronym for focus, following one course until success. When you're focused on what you're doing and you don't know what fucking Ginny's doing and you don't know what Ben is doing and you don't know what Paul is doing, because you're focused on you and you're focused on helping the people that are following you, that's when the success comes. And all of these things like forcing serendipity, making luck happen, and luck is when opportunity and preparation meet one another. All of these opportunities that happen come from you focusing on what you're doing and helping more people. When you do things for money, you make bad decisions. And the truth is, there's people that will come into personal training and come into different businesses and will do it for the money. And that's fine. Again, it's a bit of a harsh reality, because in a saturated field, you become a commodity, and there's a lot less money in personal training if you're a commodity, because if you can buy a jar of milk in a shop for €2 and you can buy the same jar in another shop for €1, you're going to buy the one for €1. Personal training can be a commodity. However, you change that by helping more people, by building a stronger brand, and by not doing things for money. You know, by all means, make a living, because that is important. And I'm the first one to say that I'm very fortunate to make the living that I make, and that money is important to me. I want to be able to put a roof over my head. I want to be able to put food in my daughter's mouth, and I want to be able to secure that I never have to worry about paying bills. But that's not number one. Number one is about helping the people that follow me, serving them, and doing as much as I can with them. If you come into it with that attitude, you are going to win over the long term. There is a reason, and again, and I don't mean to sound ego and bravado, but there is a reason that I'm probably going to win in the 20-year game, the 40-year game, the 50-year game, because I know where I'm going to be when I'm 55. I know where I'm going to be when I'm 60. I have that outline. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know where I'm going to be because I'm playing the long game. The people that come in and make the decisions for money because you get €1,000 for this Instagram post, or you can do this campaign with whoever for, you know, €2,000 if you post a couple of videos, and you do all these things that are nowhere near in alignment with your brand, but they pay well, those people are going to lose. Those people are going to fall off. Within 3, 4, 5, 6 years, those people are going to get shown up. Your fake Instagram selfies, your people that are on your private jets where they've taken their photo on a private jet and then gone flying on a normal plane, which I've seen in a lot of the entrepreneur space, those people are not going to win. They're not doing it for the right reasons, and they never win, because when you make decisions for money, you make bad decisions. And I've been there in the past when I was working as a teacher and I did that fear where I worked and did that job out of pure fear. But the end of the day is, when you help more people and you do the right thing and you don't make the decisions for money and you're focused on helping people number one above everything else, I guarantee If you were good at your craft and you spent every day consuming the right things and consuming the right people, reading the right books, watching the right TV shows, listening to the proper podcasts that are making you a better trainer and a better business person, you are going to win. That is the end of, and that is how you run a successful personal training business, in my opinion. Okay, next question from Panto Anto. How to bulk up when I burn a lot of calories at work? Okay, so I have a lot of people that come through my BKF online program that have this issue where they're working very intense, labor-intensive jobs and they burn through a lot of calories. So there's two things that can work. One is very, very straightforward where you just bump up your calories. Like I have some people coming through my BKF online program that are at 3,500, 4,000, 4,500 if they're in a really labor-intensive job, have a fast metabolism and they're trying to build muscle. So some people will just increase their actual meal size and get their calorie surplus or their massive surplus that way. However, for the majority of people, particularly those that work on a building site or work in labor intensive jobs, there's a bit of a time element there and a time aspect there where people can't commit to sitting down and having a meal every 2.5-3 hours and getting their calories up. So what I've found worked tremendously well for those people is one of two things, is having a shake, a high carbohydrate and high protein shake, or a high protein, fat and carb shake that you sip on during the day or you use in between meals. So for example, one is 100 grams of oats or 120 grams of oats with 2 scoops of protein, and you just sip on it during the day in between your meals while you're on a building site. Another is on my Instagram. So if you check my Instagram, I put one of my bulk up shakes or one of my weight gaining shakes from my online program on my Instagram. It's got a mixture of coconut oil, flaxseed oil, oats, almond butter or peanut butter, whey protein, and it's a 1,000 calorie shake. You drink two of those a day, you're gonna bump up your calories by 2,000. So now if you're only eating 3,000 calories a day, which is very, very doable if you're spacing your meals and eating big meals at breakfast, lunch and dinner, and then you're snacking on 2,000 calorie shakes in between, that's 5,000 calories you're consuming every single day. Regardless of your metabolism, regardless of your job and labor intensity, there's very few people that are not going to grow or get bigger on 5,000 calories. And some may go to 6, and you have freaks that will go to 7 or 8,000, but the majority of people are going to grow with 4 to 5,000 calories regardless of how fast your metabolism is. The key is eating calorie-dense foods, using shakes and making shakes, weight-gaining shakes you made yourself to fill the stop gaps so that you're not consuming too much carbohydrate food where you need to eat so much and you feel bloated and swollen and your digestion is off. You may be using more blended oats or using more fat-based calories so that you're eating calories dense foods so you don't have to eat as much to get the same amount of calories. So that would be my main advice, would be hack in with those shakes in between or sipping them all during the day. Get your calories up to that 3,500, 4,000 to even 5,000 calorie mark, and then you're going to be able to grow regardless of your labor intensity, providing that you're working for the right parameters in the gym. You're doing the 8 to 10 rep range. You may be doing even lower. You may be working 6 to 8 if you're someone with a very fast metabolism, and you're tearing those fibers down to repair them back and build more muscle. Okay, question from Amory Illigan. Can you recommend a book to help me let go of hurt and anger from a previous relationship? Okay, so this shows up very, very differently, and I'm going to hopefully answer this to try and provide value to the maximum amount of people listening. We all have things that happen in our life that either lead to hurt or shame or anger, and all these things that put us into a very, very negative state when we conjure up those thoughts and think of them again. So there's a couple of angles that I'm going to come at from this just so it can help the most people, and hopefully it'll help you as well, Anne-Marie, is a lot of it comes down to the way you see it. You know, I love the Marcus Aurelius quote, and I quoted this in my book, that everything we see is an everything we hear is an opinion, everything we see is a perspective. When you have a terrible relationship and you have a lot of anger and a lot of hurt built up, that's on you and the way you see it. And I would recommend this, and I'm going to do a hard sell to you, Anne-Marie, that you should buy the book and read the section on how to deal with negativity and hate towards you, or letting go of things that have affected you negatively. I use it in the context of minimizing stress and anxiety and worry so that you can change your composition, but it's a life skill. And again, that part, that mindset section of the book is down to me speaking to myself, speaking to Holly in case anything ever happens to me, so that I'm able to leave something behind for her. But the truth is, you're going to get so much benefit from it. All that anger, all that hurt, and you may not like my answer here, but that's all on you. It's all on the way you see it and the perspective that you're holding and the way you're choosing to accept it. It's the same as when negativity is aimed at you, when hate is aimed at you, when anything is aimed in your direction, it's up to you whether you choose to accept it. When you're projecting your anger or hurt onto somebody or some situation or something, that's you doing that. again, as I said, you're probably not going to like me hearing it, but the flip side and the beauty of it is when you accept and take ownership, the fact that that's you doing it, it gives you back the control. And when you have the control, you can make decisions on how you steer the ship and how you choose to see it. So in terms of a book, there's a couple of recommendations I would give that will help you change and shift your mindset on that. The main one is going to be my book, the Fitness Mindset. The mindset section is going to help you more than anything else in dealing with that. But if hurt, anger, all of those issues that are welling up inside you that you're dealing with, when you start to take ownership of those and when you realize that they're feeling that you have, that's on you, and your anger and your hurt that you're putting onto somebody else or onto another situation is a projection of you. And when you can reframe that, and I've spoken about this in other podcasts in the past, when you reframe that terrible relationship or that horrible thing that happened to you as a positive and a feedback that you can learn from so that you know not what to look for next time, that can shift your entire state and your entire mindset in towards a the positive in every situation. And the truth is, everything is the way we see it. There's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Well, if you think something's good and you think something's bad, you're going to be right on both occasions. That's how you see it. You can come out of the worst relationship, and I don't know what happened in the situation, and there may have been physical abuse, you know, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. I have no idea. There could have been horrible things that happened there. So you can come out of that and you can be a victim and be like, well, that's horrible. All men are terrible. I'm never coming back from this. This is terrible. The worst thing that's ever happened. And you can live in a victim mentality. Or you can come out of it and be like, okay, that was terrible experience. That I've remembered that. That is not how I want my life to be going forward. And now you know what to look out for in your next relationship. When you're going on dates, when you're in a relationship with somebody else and you're seeing certain patterns emerge that happened previously, you can nip it before it sets off. You now have a direct feedback on what things that you can change so that you can go and find the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, that'll be your life partner and that'll be there for you and that won't treat you poorly. That is all down to using the experience, using what happened, using the failure, reframing it, taking the positives from it, and then using that information to make it better next time. That goes in all aspects of life for everything. You know, I've talked about that in the context of sports people that I work with. That's a reframe. Your worst game that you ever had is a feedback on where you need to improve. The worst date you've ever been on or the worst relationship you've ever been on is a feedback on what not to look out for next time. The job you hated more than anything else is a feedback on, well, this isn't the culture I want to be with. The people that spoke behind your back and the friends that were two-faced to you, which is the experience that I talked about in my book, is feedback on the people that you want to surround yourself with. You know, I spoke on a situation that I had when a friend did me a bad turn once, that I heard him speaking very, very poorly about me behind my back. And as a character trait, two-faced and speaking behind people's back is something, it's the very, very bottom of my totem pole. It's something I can't stand in people as a personality trait and will not tolerate it in my first circle or with people I spend time with, full stop. It's a non-negotiable for me. And I had a friend back in about 4 years ago speak very, very poorly behind my back. And I came out of it and I was like, fuck him. I was like, I hate that. I was like, you know, and I had all this hate built up inside me. And the Buddha quote that when you hold hate inside you, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And I realized that that was great feedback for me to have, that I'm like, okay, I can take the situation, I can look at it and go, do you know what, this is not who I want my friend circle to be. And it's not a coincidence, over the last 3.5 years and since I was born 2 years ago, I've got a completely different circle of closest friends who I have their back and their mind. And now my life is able to propel forward and project forward, and they support and champion everything I do, and I support and champion everything they do. That came from a negative, quote unquote, negative experience from a friend who was speaking poorly of me, but I use that information as a feedback loop for who I want to have in my life, and I built a completely different inner circle, or double down on the people who I felt at the time, well, look, I want to move forward with you. I want to help you become a better version of you, and you're helping me become a better version of me. But that's all feedback, and that's pure perspective on the way you see it. So again, there are books like Obstacles the Way by Ryan Holiday, which is a great read about using obstacles to use them as stepping stones to build the life that you want. Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within is great for breaking through glass ceilings and the way you see the world. But again, I'm going to hard sell you on my book. I think if anybody reads it, Anne-Marie, you're going to get the benefit from that section because of where you're at in your life right now. So go check that out and be sure to hit me up on DM on Instagram. And anybody else that has the book and is dealing with a similar issue, just hit me up on DM and let me know how you find it on Instagram. And hopefully it'll support you guys as much as it supports me when I reread it, because it's a constant reminder to me about how to live my life. And again, the reason I'm so proud of the mindset section of the book is because every time I reread it, it brings me back to that time when I wrote it, and it allows me to stay the course and keep that mindset. Because the truth is, if you don't stay on top of these things, the same way as if you don't stay on top of your nutrition or you don't stay on top of your fitness, you lose it. And mindset is the same. You know, I like to think of keeping a strong mindset the same as sweeping the floor. You can sweep it today, but if you don't do it tomorrow or the day after, it's going to get dirty again. You don't sweep it once and it's done. You have to stay on top of it a little bit every single day. And that's how I look at mindset. That's how I look at fitness. That's how I look at nutrition. Step by step, you get ahead. Day by day, you get ahead. And doing it every single day, that's what builds the stronger version of you. That's what builds your mindset. That's what builds your body. That's what builds everything that you want. And that can build an entire life for a person. Okay, so a mixture of questions here. So hopefully you guys got loads of value from that. Again, any feedback on this would be awesome. Be sure to hit me up on the DM on Instagram. Thank you for everyone who sent in the questions as well. Brian Keane Fitness on Instagram. So DM me. My inbox has been blowing up since the book went on bestseller. So apologies if I don't get back. But anytime I'm sitting on a bus or an airplane or where I'm traveling, I'm going through my DMs and I'm trying to respond to as many as I can. So a massive thank you to everyone who's taking the time to DM me. And thank you again for everyone for listening. For more on me, you can head out to my website on www.briankeefitness.com. My two programs, my GEA program and my KF online program, are both on there. My YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram is all Brian Keane Fitness. And my Snapchat, which is probably my most active platform still, is BrianK019. Massive thank you to Colm at Voxonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Thanks for listening. Catch you all soon.